Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord God, and I just pray for this man and these men right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that you would anoint them by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Like a fire, you would just run through each one of them, Lord, through their eyes, through their mind, Lord God, through their thoughts, through their words, Lord. You would anoint their tongues, whatever it is you want them to say, Lord God. I pray that they would say it, Lord God, with love, but in boldness and truth, Lord God. I pray for a blessing, Lord, on him, Lord God, and on these men, Lord God. Help them just to speak the truth, Lord God, and to live a life worthy of the gospel. We ask for a blessing right now for them and for us in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Darren. So my name is Kenneth. I'm a staff member at Loving Hands. I graduated a year ago. God has been so good to me throughout the whole journey. Loving Hands is a two-year minimum discipleship ministry for men like myself and these men who struggle with life-controlling issues, drug addiction, alcoholism, anything that's pulling a man out of the will of God for his life. That's what Loving Hands is for. Loving Hands has never saved one person, but Loving Hands is an environment where a man can come in, lay down his life, lay down the world, pick up the things of God, and learn what God expects him to do. But before I really start getting these guys to share their testimony, I just want to give you guys a little hint, right? You're going to hear some testimonies. Some of them might be graphic, right? We were all away from God at one point. But don't focus on what we did wrong, right? Because that's not going to help you. Focus on the grace and the mercy, the love of God that was given to each one of us as soon as we called on God. That's what I would like you to focus on, because that same grace, hope, love, mercy is available freely to you, to your loved ones. Okay, it's not just pertinent to us because we're so good, because I'm telling you, there was nothing good about us. The only thing that's good about us is God in us. So just try to focus on how God saved our lives, and I promise it'll be a blessing to you. And the first person I would like to share would be my brother Andrew Kilby. We have multiple Andrews.
There's like three of us. Three Andrews. I'm Kilby. They call me Kilby because there's three of us. I'm 38 years old. I almost forgot my age. That's crazy. I'm from New Jersey, and I've been in the ministry almost 19 months. It's like a day shy. Yeah, day shy, 19 months. And, yeah, it's awesome, kind of. Nah, it's good. It's good. edit that. Nah. Man, I'm just going to hop right into it. So it's like October 3rd of 2021, and I've decided I'm going to take my life. I got a bunch of prescription pills, and each prescription represented some kind of failure. It was an attempt that I was doing to try to fix myself. It was an attempt to reach out to a doctor. It was an attempt to go to a psychiatric ward or these things that told me they could fix me. And each one I failed at. AA, the NA, the psychiatric, all that was failures. It was a bunch of pills and alcohol, and I was going to go ahead and I was going to take my life. So I was drinking alcohol to get myself brave enough to do that. It was a Sunday morning, and through all the things that I did in my life, all the incarcerations and all these things, like there was an aftermath. There was like a path of destruction. And one of the things that happened was I had to sign the rights away to my daughter, and my mother actually stepped in and adopted her, and they lived in Florida. So I'm in New Jersey. I'm in Trenton, New Jersey, in a boarding house. I'm going to take my life. My mom is she's ill, and she had an autoimmune disease called Wegener's, and sometimes it affected your lungs, affected your breathing, so she dealt with fatigue and all these different things, and she didn't want to go to church that morning, and she felt, as she put it, she felt a relentless tugging to go to church that morning, so she went, and the man at Loving Hands was doing a testimony service there that morning. My mom, it was Andrew's birthday, this Andrew, and they sang happy birthday to him. So I can just imagine my mom sitting there hearing the name Andrew and thinking about me and beginning to pray for me. And she had the boldness to come up to our resident director, Denaris Mason, and talk to him and say, hey, look, I think my son, she knew I was having problems. And he prayed over her, and they put my name on the intercessory prayer sheet. And I got a text message in the midst of me trying to take my life. I get this text message, and it's just a picture of the pamphlet for Loving Hands Ministries. I stopped doing what I was doing, and I called my mom. And I don't remember much because I was intoxicated, but I do remember this. She said, "Drew, I don't know too much about this," she said, but it's from God, and it just feels right." And then 5 days later, I was on an aircraft from Philly to Tampa, and God's moved in my life mightily since then. I got here, and it's a lot of obedience. It's a lot of robotic things. I used to call us all obey bots because we got to obey everything. And through that obedience, it has grown character in me. I heard a quote yesterday from a man, S.M. Lockridge, and it says, he said that the cloak of righteousness doesn't get altered to fit the man. The man gets altered to fit their cloak of righteousness. And I was like, ooh, that's some goodness. And that's what it, that's what's going on at Loving Hands Ministries. We're getting altered to fit that cloak of righteousness. We're getting altered by the Word of God and by His Holy Spirit working inside of us. And throughout that, the Lord is doing things in our lives. Reconciliation with our family is taking place. Relationships are getting restored. Purpose is beginning to get fulfilled in our lives. We're learning our identity and who Christ says we are. And we're slowly doing from this to this. And we can look in the eye and we can love a man and we can love a woman. And it's not because what they can offer you. It's because Jesus' love is dwelling in us and it changes us. And this place is special to me. I'm going to be quick. Last year we was here for Mother's Day, and this was just a powerful church for me. And you know, like when you get into this ministry, things look like they're going to line up. So I got here, my mom's here, my daughter's here, and it looks like I'm going to be planted back into their lives. And it looks like you know God's plan. And then sometimes life hits you. You know, November 6th, I was told that my mom passed away pretty abruptly. And you know, God is so good, though. It's like I dealt with the struggle with that for a little while, but I got on my hands and knees every night, and I just prayed to Him, and through the prayer, through the meditation, through His Word, I came to a place where I saw the goodness of God in my life. God knew he that my mom was going to pass away on November 6th, and He called me into her life. He called me into her life, and He gave that woman a year and some change of just peace where she could sleep at night not worrying about her son. He gave me a year with my mother. He didn't have to do that, but that's how good God is. And until I found that, until I saw that, I wasn't changed. Until I really had the revelation of God's goodness in my life, I wasn't changed. But when that happened, the scales fell off, the veil was torn, and I was a different man. And I can't fully explain it. It's always going to be a mystery to me, but God is good. And I probably talked long enough. Psalms 37, 23, and 24, "For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Thank you, guys.
Good morning. My name is Jose Torres. I am 25 years old. I've been in the ministry now for 4 months. And, you know, I grew up right here in Bradenton, in Palmetto. And, you know, I went to Christian school. Whenever I got to middle school, I started using marijuana. I started drinking. My parents' liquor, my grandparents' liquor, you know, snuck it in every once in a while, whenever I could. You know, I started to struggle with depression after I got over this relationship that I was in sixth grade. You know, I fell away from my talents. You know, I used to like to play music, play guitar, sing songs. I didn't want to do that anymore. I didn't want to go to church. I just completely gave up on myself, and I had depression. And I started working AC job whenever I was 18 years old, or actually I was 18 years old, and I was working for like not even half a year, and I was I was drinking, I was smoking weed, living with my mom. She said, "Well, I wasn't." I went to a mental institution. I gave up, on my life, and I decided to come here, and I've been here. I graduated, I went out, came back, graduated again. Now I'm here again, and I don't want to be here, I don't want to be here, not at all, not one bit, And, I'm really struggling. They don't want to help me to work while I'm here. They just want me to stay on as staff. And man, it's hard, dude. And I don't have a verse to share because I can't focus. And I'm very anxious, and I'm very, very mad at myself. But I know that God's gonna get me through this, and I know that He's gonna show me to my plans again, to my goals, to what He's shown me, to what dreams that He put in my heart. I don't have a verse for you, so.
Hello, my name's Lance Riley. I'm 41 years old. I've been in the ministry for just over 3 months. I'm from Hudson, Florida, Port Richey, Florida, and I just want to say off rip, this is not easy for any of us to do. We go back on things that are very shameful memories and stuff like that that we've done to ourselves, and it's very hard for each one of us to come up here and share these things. But it's what we're called to do, and the Lord strengthens us. I've been an addict for 25 years of my life, I was on methamphetamines, fentanyl, opiates for a long, long time, probably 16 years. I have 2 kids. I haven't really been there for them, and it's tough, Anyways, I was released from jail the 29th of January, 2023, 3 months ago, and I've been living in the same area in Hudson, Port Richey, since I was like 3 years old. So I know all kinds of people over there. And this time I've known God for a long time, probably like 10 years, but I've always kind of put Him in the passenger seat. I haven't really ever given my life truly to Him. I know the Word, I've been in the Word for a long time, but it takes a true relationship in order, to gain some of the blessings that the Lord has for us. I knew that when I left jail, I couldn't go back to the old things. Everybody around me was dying, my friends. I destroyed every relationship I've ever been in. My family wanted nothing to do with me. My friends wanted nothing to do with me. I was pretty much homeless for the last couple years. And I just knew that if I went back there, I'd probably be just another statistic, another dead person over there. So I decided to go the opposite way. I didn't know where I was going. I was just focusing on God's promise in my life that if I gave my life to Him, that He would do something for me, And so instead of going west towards everything I knew, back towards Hudson and Port Richey, I decided to go east and just start walking. I didn't know where I was going, but I wasn't going back to what I knew. I walked for maybe 15, 18 miles, maybe 20, I don't know exactly. But it was Sunday at 12:23 midnight, they released me from jail, and I just stayed praying. By the time it was 9:55, I was coming around the corner, and there was a church there on the right, and there was a sign out front that said, "Come worship with us," and there was a drawing on my heart, so I went into the church, and they were doing a baptismal service that morning, and I'd wanted to get baptized for the last couple years, and so I said, "Hey, I'll get baptized." I spoke to one of the deacons, And he said, wait till after the service and we'll get you baptized. I said, okay. So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden a group of men come in just like this, but they were wearing suits at the time. And it just so happened that of all the churches I could have walked past, and I did walk past that morning, the one church that I stopped at was a church that Loving Hands Ministry was doing a testimony service at that morning. So as I'm sitting there in the back row, I didn't know nobody. I was in an area I didn't know nobody. I start hearing men giving their testimony services just like the brothers are doing today. And it was very powerful, very powerful. So after the service, they were coming off, and I had this real strong urging on my heart to talk to some of the brothers. And they ended up getting me into the ministry. Like, the whole thing was just, you know, they put me up in a hotel room for the night, some of the people from the congregation. The next morning, they accepted me into the program. It was this huge thing for me, you know, huge move of God in my life. Since I've been in the ministry, the Lord has done many mighty, powerful works in my life. He's bringing my family back together to me. I speak to my mom. I spoke to my daughter. She tells me she loves me. I've got pictures of my son. My mom's coming to visit very soon to come see me. And these are people that I had tore up relationships for years. You know, it's the Lord's doing a mighty work. And I'm truly grateful and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for the ministry. The Bible verse I'm going to leave you with is Matthew 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who are in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you who work lawlessness.
You know, I said at the beginning that Loving Hands is an environment where the men can lay those things down and begin to pick up new things. But in that environment, it gets pretty intense. These guys are up at 6:15 every morning. They work out. They're doing devotions. There's three classes a day where we have the wonderful teachers, preachers, evangelists, missionaries come in and share the Word of God. And in that chapel, these men's hearts begin to change. My heart was changed in that chapel. You know, just a little bit about myself. I struggled with drug addiction from the age of 14 to 24. I was addicted to meth. That same addiction led me to prison. You know, in prison is where I experienced the love of Christ through a conversation that I had with my mother where she explained to me she was sick. My mom was sick for a long time and she wasn't going to live forever. And the last thing she wanted to know was that I was going to be okay. And that's where I decided to quit running. You know, the best that I could show for my life, for 24 years of life, was a drug addiction, homelessness, and a prison sentence. Nothing else. Nothing at all. And I gave my life to Christ in that county jail. I served my time in prison, and it was time for me to get out of prison, and I had nowhere in the world to go, because just like all these men here, I burned all my bridges. Except my grandmother. She was 79. She said, you can stay on my couch for 1 month. She lived in a camper, and that wasn't going to work. Because it was right back in the same spot that I was from, doing the same things I had always done. I knew my commitment to God was real, but I knew it wouldn't be real for long if I went right back there doing that same stuff. And I said, God, I know you have something better for me than this. I know you have something better for me. And I received a letter from a gentleman who was my youth pastor 10 years prior to this. I hadn't talked to him in years, and as a matter of fact, the last time I did talk to him, I borrowed money from him to get high with. And he gave it to me, knowing that I was going to get high with it, but I don't know. So he had no reason to want to talk to me other than God, other than the love of God that was in his heart. And God told him to write me a letter. And this was 1 month before I was supposed to get out. He wrote me that letter and said, Kenneth, you need Loving Hands. You need to go there. My brother went there. He graduated and it changed his life. He said, if you'll agree to it, I'll pick you up from prison. June 1st of 2020, I was picked up from prison by that same gentleman and his brother. They were in the parking lot. They drove me straight from Orlando all the way to Palmetto. And I've been at Loving Hands now almost 3 years. God has done amazing things in my life. I've been sober. The day after Mother's Day coming up makes 4 years that I've been sober. But that's not something I could accomplish on my own. If I could go 10 minutes without getting high, that was a miracle. So I know that 4 years is from God because of my relationship with him. I got my GED in this program. I've gotten my driver's license. I graduated the program. I stayed on as a staff member. Currently, I'm enrolled in Bible college or ministry school. You know, I have hopes to be a youth pastor one day. But more important than all of that, Loving Hands is the hardest thing I've ever committed my life to. But it's the most rewarding because at the end of all of it, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in this life, I'm finding that that's what really matters, because all these other things will come when you just focus on the Lord. The next person I would like to share would be my brother Jonathan.
Good morning. My name is Jonathan Sanchez. I'm 22 years old. I was born in Guatemala. I was raised in Bradenton, Florida. Growing up in Guatemala, I was raised by my grandmother. You know, I had a brain hemorrhage when I was 7, and my mother came and brought me to the United States. You know, and she was an alcoholic. You know, she struggled with alcohol. You know, my grandfather too. He came into my life when I was 15. He struggled with alcohol as well, and they started drinking together. You know. And it started off as a small thing, and became normal to drink with my family. You know, they enabled me to drink, and after that, you know, a couple of years later, I started using crystal meth at the age of 19, and it's just that led me down to a path of partying, you know, crazy, and just drug use, and from there on, I also started stealing from my mother a couple grand from my mother, you know, just to throw it away as well. And, you know, it just led me down to a bad path. And I was angry when I came into the ministry. You know, I was broken. I was lost, you know, because of how my life was going, you know. And it was August 2021, you know, my brother seen how I was doing. He told me about this gentleman that graduated the ministry and how it had changed his life. You know, I talked to him on the phone. He agreed to meet me at my brother's auto body shop, and he prayed over me. You know, after a few minutes that he left, I just felt the Holy Spirit come on me. I started breaking out. You know, I started crying, and that's when I knew I had to come here. You know, and it hasn't been easy, for sure. You know, there's been a lot of things I had to lay down, and it's a good thing, you know, because there's another quote from A.W. Tozer that says, before God uses a man, God breaks a man, and that's what he did with me. You know, he broke me down, and then he put me back together, you know, and it's beautiful, you know. You know, so I've been here for 20 months, and God's just, he's doing a lot of things in my life, you know. Not everything is perfect, you know, but God's working, you know, and I'm learning to trust in that, you know, throughout the circumstances. Not even if not things are going my way, you know, I can rely on Him and just trust that He's working through it, you know. I'm just so glad for being here. You know, the scripture verse I would like to leave you guys with is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Thank you very much. God bless you.
My name is Andrew. I am 24 years old. I have been in the ministry getting ready to be 2 years and 4 months. I graduated February 2nd, and it was a really long journey from 12 all the way up to 22. I ended up running away from my house, and I was in the streets for probably about 2 years, just going back and forth from friend to friend. And then finally, I moved into my sister at the age of 14. Her boyfriend was a drug dealer. I learned how to sell drugs, dropped out of high school at 15. That became my career. I chased money. I chased drugs. I chased after women. That was all I really wanted. Everything that I saw on TVs about the gangster, the hustler, that was what I wanted to live. I wanted to go out like that. And I didn't know that it would have took me down a path to where I would try drugs that I thought I never would have. And it got to the point where eventually, by the age of 18, I was using pills. I was smoking meth and using all different types of drugs, and I was almost overdosed on Xanax before, and that really stuck out to me. It was like I almost died, but I didn't. And you'd think that it would have put a fear that would say, I'm not going to do this no more. But it made me feel as if I was invincible. I felt like there was something that I needed to keep chasing. I didn't know what it was, and I was trying to fill a hole that I had from all the abandonment that I had from my family members. Because every time I got with somebody, they spoke lies to me. They spoke that I wasn't going to be anybody in life, that I was a failure. I always mess up, that they don't love me, that all these different things that I was being fed and told my whole life, and then eventually just being kicked out of every single place that I went. And it wasn't because of them. It was honestly, now that I see it, it was myself. I put so much harm and danger in their ways that they couldn't be there and afford to have me be a risk at their family. And when I had my daughter at the age of 19, that changed my life slightly. I decided I was going to stop selling drugs. I was going to get a job, do what I was supposed to do as a father. Every father figure that I had wasn't there, and I wanted to be there for my daughter. And it was shortly lived. Eventually, I went back to selling drugs, going back to the gang lifestyle. And it got to the point where I actually started getting very angry at everything and almost wanting to kill myself or kill somebody. I got to a state where I was so dark in my mind that I didn't know what to do, what to say, how to react to other people. And then eventually I found, you know, this place to be something that I thought I was going to have to defend myself when I got here. I thought these people were going to be from prison. They were going to want to try to fight me. And then I looked around and I saw Jesus in every single one of them, even the newest guy. I said, they don't want to fight me. They want to love me. And I tried to change my life for a year. I just did whatever Andrew wanted to do. I didn't want to do what the ministry wanted me to do. I said to myself, I'm going to make sure that I can get through here, but still keep a little piece of me. I like who I am. But I got to the point where I was scrubbing a fence along our whole property, and I sat there and I wanted to leave. I wanted to give up on everything and just go back home and be with my daughter and figure it out by myself. But then the Lord showed me how blessed I was. I looked around the property and I seen that I had people that supported me, that loved me. And it really showed me, just like Andrew Kilby said, it took a dark time, a dark moment for me to realize that Jesus still loves me regardless of what I do. And it wasn't until then that stuff started moving in my life because I really gave myself to the Lord. I got my GED. I got my driver's license. I graduated the ministry. My family and the relationships that I have with my daughter, my dad, people that I destroyed bridges with, is mended again. And that's all because of the Lord. And now I'm actually moving into a phase where I'm going to be getting enrolled into Bible college. I never thought I was going to do that. I didn't want to do that. So the Lord has definitely done a lot of good work, and the love that I have for the men here, I see that as my job. I didn't stay here to get the benefits of being a staff member. I stayed here so that way they can have what I have and what my leaders have. So I thank you guys for letting me share. The scripture I want to leave you guys with is Psalms 1, verses 1 and 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the way of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and he shall bring forth fruit in its season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Benjamin. I'm 33 years old. I've been in the ministry for almost 13 months now. April 22nd of last year, actually it was the 21st of last year, I had hit rock bottom. My family didn't want nothing to do with me. My friends didn't want nothing to do with me. I didn't want nothing to do with myself, really. And anyway, I intended on going and robbing and killing this man. There was two outcomes that would come from that. Either I would be killed myself, or I would go get to spend the rest of my life in prison, and I wouldn't have to worry about food or shelter or health care or any of these things anymore. All that stuff would be supplied for me. And that was my mindset at the time. I stop at this cemetery, and it's where my Uncle Frankie's buried. It's on a dirt road in between where I live and where this person lives that I know. And I stop at this cemetery, and I'm praying to God. I say, Lord, if you've got something better for me than what I have for myself, What I have planned for myself right now would be a good time to show me. And almost immediately, this man comes up and taps me on the shoulder. He says, "Hey, man, are you okay?" I said, "No, I'm not okay. I'm about to go rob and kill this man. I've been homeless now for about 3 years. I'm living in the woods. About to go spend the rest of my life in prison." He says, "No, don't go. Don't do that. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get some money. I'll come back. I'll pick you up. We'll go and we'll talk." I said, "Okay." You know, despite everything that I wanted to do, I wanted to just go on and go about my business and do what I had to do. At least I'd get high or something before the police came and got me, you know. And anyway, the Holy Spirit had just moved on me. I stayed there that whole, it was 10 or 15 minutes, but the old me wouldn't have stayed there. Immediately I would have left just so nobody could find me. They knew where I was, you know. And anyway, he come back and I'm going to skip all them details because I want to get into what the Lord's doing right now. But he had dropped me off at Love and Hands Ministries. And they took me in immediately. They took me in. I filled out the application. I did the interview within 4 hours of me about to go kill somebody. I'm in Palmetto. You know, when I came here, I grew up in a church, and I knew a lot about the Word. I had memorized scriptures already. I knew a lot about what God had to say about me. I knew a lot about who God was, but I didn't know him personally. I didn't have a relationship with him. I wasn't seeking after him. I wasn't following in his steps. I wasn't doing anything that the Word had told me to do. I was doing nothing that he was asking me to do, and he continually was asking me these things, or I wouldn't have known this stuff. And anyway, he had taken me out of that place. He had taken me out of that place where I was, where I was just doing my own thing, where I was just doing what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And he put me in a place where there's no distractions. We don't watch TV. We don't listen to secular stuff. We don't drink coffee all the time. We don't do what we want to do. We have a schedule, as you heard, and we do exactly what we're told to do. And this helps create character, like my brother Kilby was saying. So anyway, I had been here for a few months, and like I said, I grew up in a church. I knew the Word. I've studied the Word for most of my life, and I had this like spiritual pride. It was starting to choke me out. I thought I knew everything. I thought I already knew which all the teachers were coming in. I already know that. I would finish what they were saying before they would say it. I had all the answers, all this stuff, right? And I wasn't receiving what the Lord was trying to show me. So one of my brothers gets us praying. We start this little prayer group. And then I start actually having a relationship with the Lord and finding out through my prayers, what he desires for my life, what his will is for my life. And then that starts to grow where it isn't just this scheduled time of day. It's all day long I'm in prayer to him, so I know what his will is for my life. Without ceasing, I'm praying to my Father, so I know what he wants me to say. I know where he wants me to go. I know who he wants me to talk to. And it's amazing to see what the Lord does for others through me, because it's not me that's doing it. Like I said, all that knowledge and stuff was puffing me up. I was spiritually prideful. But now that I have love in my life, now that I love my brother and I want to see them have a relationship also, it's different. It's different. That's how the Lord brings joy to my life is when he can use me to help others. So the prayer life, I've also, it ain't me, but we've got this little Bible study that we do on our showers in free time, which normally we just sit around and talk and joke and do stuff that probably has nothing to do with God, but now we're starting to do that. There's probably three or four of us get together, sometimes more. And it's just cool to see God move like that whenever you're obedient to him. Anyway, with that, I'm going to leave you with my scripture verse. We're going to go with Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Thank you.
I just want to say to all of our guys, man, I'm super, super proud of you. It's not easy. It's not even easy when you graduate. Don't think it gets any easier. You get more stuff to do and less time to do it, I promise. But you guys are all doing a good thing, okay? Even when it's tough, one thing you can listen to me from is it's worth it, right? It's worth it. It's the best thing you guys will ever do. Don't give up. It's so worth it. I love each and every one of you guys. I'm so proud of you, okay? So, you know, Loving Hands, we go around and we share our testimonies. We're a drug rehab, a program, but we're more than that. We are in a family. We're a family, right? These guys are my brothers. We have another campus. We're just as close with them and soon to be opening one in Georgia. So please be in prayer about that. So like I said, these guys aren't just numbers, right? Just because I graduated doesn't mean I don't do life with these guys. I don't get to spend as much time with them as I would like to, but I live on property. I live right on property. You know, I try to always be available. One thing you see with Jesus and his disciples is he didn't just tell them what to do and then, right at first, he didn't just tell them what to do and then they had to go do it. No, he lived life with them and he showed them how to do it. And the people that done that for me when I was going through the ministry are really what made a difference, because I had a reference point from where I'm struggling now and seeing, you know, what some of what God has for me in my leadership, right? So we're a family environment. We get together for all of the holidays. I was the cook one year for Thanksgiving. I cooked one of the turkeys upside down, and Keith still doesn't let me hear the end of it. You know, it was dry, but it was cooked. On Christmas, the guys are opening Christmas gifts together. We have a Christmas tree, and we sit around the Christmas tree, and we all open gifts. On Easter, all these guys are out there chasing down Easter eggs, climbing in trees and stuff. And we just get together, and we make good memories that are sober, memories that are honoring to the Lord, memories that really matter. Just a couple things that I would like to mention is, one, we have our open house coming up on May 20th. We would love, if you guys can make it, to please come out to our property. God has been doing so much, you know, spiritually, first of all, because that's the most important thing. But God has been really doing a lot around our campus, and we would love for you guys to come check out what he's doing. There's going to be a water slide for children. We're going to serve lunch. They're going to be doing campus tours. That means we have to clean our rooms, you know. But we would love for you guys to come out there. I think it starts at 10 a.m. If you guys need the address, you can get with me. We would love to have you guys come out there. We have an intercessor. Yes, sir?
Date?
May 20th at 10 a.m. Yes, sir. We have an intercessory prayer list on our product table back here. These guys have an intercessory prayer class Monday through Saturday where we just pray for what's on that list. And we would love for you guys to put some stuff on there and see how God will move in that, because I'm telling you, he really does. You heard it. This Gilby down here was on the list. 5 days later, he was at our campus, and he's been here ever since, and God is doing amazing work. We have a thrift store. If I don't mention that, Ms. Sherry gets mad. We have a thrift. It's an awesome store. Yep. We have a thrift store on Manatee Avenue. We have two locations right beside each other. One is the thrift store. The other one's the furniture store. We do pickups and deliveries. You guys check it out. I think that's it. You guys. You guys can sit down.
Hey. These guys, they call me Uncle Lester. Yeah. You know, it is really such a privilege to be part of, small part of Loving Hands Ministry. We, Peggy and I, we are substitute teachers. So whenever someone can't make it who's a regular speaker, I get a phone call from Andrew, please, can you come? You know, and we just so look forward to it. We just so look forward to it. And the main thing that we look forward to is in sharing the gospel with these guys, well, sharing the word, I should say, with these guys, is that they're just so hungry. You can tell that they love the word. And so excited about what the Lord is doing in their hearts and in their lives. And that they've come to realize that they're changing, not because of the outward discipline, but because of what the Lord is doing inside of their hearts. And they come to realize that. And that, you know, they've looked everywhere else in the world to find fulfillment and satisfaction and what life is all about. And they've come to realize, hey, there's only life found in Jesus Christ, who's the giver of life. Real life. So that's why we're excited to go when we get that phone call from Andrew. And we love it. We just especially appreciated the hour and a half. I thought, well, what are we going to do in an hour and a half? So we had a time of praise and worship. There's a piano there. Had time of worshiping. It was shortly after Easter. We were singing resurrection choruses. And then looked at the death and the resurrection, and we had a great time around the word. So, anyway, I will share some more after Peggy shares.
I'd just like to say we're real proud of you. And where Benjamin's heart was full of hate, he loves us and loves the Lord. We're not worried about you killing us. Hallelujah. When the speaker first started, he said something. He said, I want you, yes, you're going to hear about the sin. And that's true, but we want you to hear about the change. The scripture behind me is the one I want to talk about. You see it? The multitude of sin. You've heard it. You've heard a multitude of sin. But see the most important word in there? Love. Love covers that multitude of sin. Not only for these guys whose lives have been messed up, and our lives in this church where we've messed up. Some of you are still in this church battling with sin. We understand. But today may you hear that Jesus loves you so much that you can overcome the sins that you were battling. And the people that are listening online, may you realize today as you've listened to testimonies that God's love is there for you too, for you to be able to lay those sins aside. You know, the Bible talks about don't put new wine into old wineskins. Another way to look at that is you can't put new life into an old lifestyle. And so let the Lord, let his love come not only through the brothers that shared it here, but for all of us. And then that scripture is true. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it or carry it through till the day of Christ. God bless you.
I want to ask, what is the main message that came through to you through the testimonies of our brethren here? Someone? Hope. Okay. Good. That's good. Yes. God is working. Oh, God's mercy. Okay. But God's also working. Okay. What's that? Oh, okay. That's my point. Yes, brother. God is love. He loves us no matter what we're going through. He loves us, draws us back to himself. Okay, someone else.
Redemption.
That's right. Yes.
Scripture, John 3:16.
For God so loved the world and those still living in the world. Yes. Yes.
There isn't any one of us that are so far gone that God can't bring us
back. I love that. That's true. None of us so far gone. Yes. That's right. We all need Jesus Christ. All of us. The ladies before gentlemen, yes. Jesus Christ is fulfilling, yes. He left the 99 to seek out the one. Some of the testimonies that the only way to explain them is God. You know, you guys know, I've been teaching, sharing with you on the fear of God. Lord, you're so awesome. You know, this is the second time I've heard your testimony. You just sat there and I'm going to go kill somebody, all right? And then someone walks up and taps you on the shoulder, and a few hours later, you're in loving hand. I mean, come on, how can you explain that outside of God? The thing that I see, like said, hope. These guys have been rock bottom. They have hope. But we all have our struggles, whatever they are. I shared with the guys that I have a different testimony. I was born in a Christian family, went to church before I was born, raised in the Word, parents that lived the life, committed my life totally when I was 14 and never turned away. And I praise God for that. I don't have the scars that these guys have. Sure, I still have other struggles. But the point is, like every one of us, that I want us, with the hope that was shared, the fact that if God can do what he's done and is doing in the lives of these brethren, I don't care what our struggles are, he can do it in your life. He can do it in mine. He's bringing them through. He can bring us through. Because of God's goodness, God's grace, his love, and the hope that he's put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He's working in our hearts. He's working in our lives. He's alive. And he wants us to experience true life. These guys, they were looking for life, and it's all vanity, like in Ecclesiastes. It doesn't fulfill. There is only one fulfillment, as was shared. That's Jesus Christ. And a life that is totally committed to Jesus Christ. I don't know where we are today as far as our relationship with the Lord. But one thing I do know is that just like he's calling and has called these guys and called them out of whatever it was that they were thought was fulfilling, but it wasn't. It was empty. He wants to fill that void. And if you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ, hey, there's guys here that can tell you. And that, hey, what he's done for me, he's done, he wants to do for you, and I can lead you into that fulfillment. Let me pray with you. Huh? Or Pastor D, Pastor Gary, or if you want to talk to a lady, hey, pastor's wife, my wife, we're here for you. So please, if you're not happy with your relationship with Jesus Christ, don't leave here without talking with one of us and find that peace and that joy and that hope and that fulfillment. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these testimonies here today. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in and through Loving Hands Ministries. But even more so, we thank you that you are here speaking to hearts, drawing people unto yourself, and speaking to us and saying, hey, there's so much more if you'll only surrender. So, Lord, thank you for speaking to hearts and ministering life and love and hope. So, Lord, I just pray your continued rich blessing upon the ministry of Loving Hands. Not only this campus here in Palmetto, but the other campuses. And, Lord, just thank you for transformed lives through the vision and the ministry of Loving Hands. And thank you, Lord, for the ministry here in this church and what you're doing here in the hearts and the lives of each and every one. For the glory of God, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a God-blessed week.